Hey guys, couple quick announcements here. The first off is we'll be having our final meetup in Melbourne on April 18th at the Oxford Scholar, which is down in the CBD. So hope to see you all there. And the second is that this was recorded in a car. Yes, it is. Well, it's not the best audio quality. And hopefully if you are listening in a car, you can kind of relate. But yep, it's a little bit different, especially if you're coming from the EEV blog audience. We do apologize. This is a little bit lower than normal, but hope you enjoy it anyways. Here we go. This is the Amp Hour Podcast, released April 17th, 2017. Episode 343. Road Trip to the Deep Space Network.
Jones from the EEV blog.
And I'm Chris Gamble of Contextual Electronics.
On the road to Gundagai. Sorry, you have no idea.
I don't know that one. I was going to say, on the road again.
Stuck behind a truck.
Yeah, right. Dave Jones, professional driver.
Yep.
Hopefully this is not our last show. Yeah.
Well, it is a dual carriageway, so it's not like we can do a head-on.
Right. No. So you mean either, yeah, there's like a median strip.
Yep. Yep. But the odds of hitting a kangaroo, you know.
Yeah?
Yeah. No, during the day. No. You have to do it after dusk.
Right. Because kangaroo are like deer.
Right, yes. They come out at night. Yes.
Yeah. So are we saying where we're going? When are we telling the public where
we are going to the Canberra Deep Space Tracking Network?
I guess we're telling people right now.
But we're not telling them what we're doing there.
Aha, uh-huh. Yes. Definitely. There you go. Yes. Space, probably something.
Right.
Yes.
To be in the know, you had to actually come to the meetup.
Right, the meetup. That was good.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
We had probably, what did you say, like 75 people there?
75, 80 maybe? Yeah. It was great.
And we ended up giving away two of the Dave DMMs.
Yep.
And one of our
scopes.
Scopes, yeah.
That's it.
Very exciting.
Yeah. Was that the biggest meetup you've been to?
No, because I've been to the San Francisco hardware startup meetups.
Oh, right.
Are pretty big. Those can get up like 200-300 people.
Oh, right.
But they're very different, right? They're doing
presentations and stuff. Right. Like, giving talks and
I preferred this kind of, because it was, I mean, like, it was great. Like, everybody with broad project. There's a bunch of great projects. There was, you know, people chatting and seemed like everybody was social. And, yeah.
And I wasn't going to shoot video, but I ended up shooting video. Some crappy handheld footage. So. Right.
So people will get to see what actually showed up. That's good. Yep. I mean, that is always nice for the, seeing what's going on and what people are working on. It's always different when you see it in person versus, like, documented. You know, like a casual look at it is different than if they're documenting it. It's cleaned up. It's like, you want to see all the warts pretty much. Like, oh, here's the bodge wire, here's this, here's that, so.
There were a lot of people who actually bought a hack, you know.
Yeah.
Bought hardware in there a lot.
Yeah.
It's cool.
That's great. Yeah. That's how you start.
And somebody bought in the actual printout.
Oh, yeah.
They bought in the printout.
Yep.
And they actually printed it out that day.
Right.
And it had PAL ASM code.
Yep.
You know, great. Yep. Great stuff.
Yeah, that was for CPLD. Right?
Yep. Yeah. Yes, for PAL, yes. Programmable Array
that's
Logic.
Right. Yeah, you know what that stuff is, I know. I'm like,
and, so you can program it using ASM in quote marks, you know, like... it was a PAL assembler program, so you could define it, you know.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Anyway. I don't think anyone... Does anyone do PAL ASM anymore? Does anyone use that? I doubt it.
I don't know what that is.
Still, so...
It seemed like he did. Yeah, I mean, that was for, like, programming stuff out in the bush or something, right? And he was, like... communication tower stuff.
That's what everyone does here. They just program stuff out in the bush.
Right. Right. That hackerspace out in the bush. Right.
it worked really well in the city. I liked it. You know, everyone said that, having it in the city was a good thing.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
It was, easily accessible.
Yeah, we were, like, right down to Pyrmont Bridge Hotel.
Yep.
It was nice.
Darling Harbour there, yep.
Yeah. Yeah, not the best weather, but...
No, but, you know.
Yeah, apparently a lot of the weather didn't really... I don't think it's bad. I mean, like, I'm coming from, getting off the winter in the
In the Midwest, this is all fine to me, but...
And we're experimenting here. We have no idea if this is going to work or not.
Oh, the...
audio.
Oh, I thought you meant the amp hour.
Yeah. Nah, right.
343. Sure, 343. We're not sure. We're not sure yet. Yeah, it's, right.
Verdict's not in.
Right.
And a lot of people were telling me that... Okay, one person.
Two.
Two. Yeah. Right, yeah. Said that they had no idea the amp hour existed. They went, "Who's Chris? Like, what is this?"
You know, in
like,
the video where you poked my shoulder to see if I was
right. Yeah. They said, "Who that? What?
Yeah,
who is this guy?" Like, yeah, because I don't actually promote it. The amp hour, like, it's on. There's a link on the website, isn't there? EEVlog.com. There's a
probably
link.
Yeah, we linked.
I think so.
Yeah, probably.
But no, I don't promote it as such. So I should actually just do a yearly video or something saying, "Hey, you know, we've got this amp hour thing, you know, if you like the audio format."
Totally possible, yeah.
And we'll get another flood of, you know.
We're not doing it for the fame.
Listeners. Oh, yeah, of course we are. Come on.
We're doing it for the road trip, man.
That's it.
All right, so now that people have heard that this is, we're going towards this thing, I can mention that Justin, who was, who we met, who's from Perth.
Right.
He very generously gifted me a DVD of the Dish.
Oh, The Dish.
Yes.
The Dish. And you watched The Dish.
I watched The Dish. It was a good movie.
I liked it.
It was, you know, good to see Sam Neill again. You know,
right.
I hadn't seen him since
Jurassic Park
1 and 3. And, not the best actor, but, you know, good memories of the old days.
Right.
Yeah.
Nah, he's confident. I like Sam Neill.
I'm more of a Jeff Goldblum fan.
Oh, yeah. It's hard to be Jeff Goldblum.
If we're talking about Jurassic Park actors.
No contest, totally.
Yeah. But yeah, I didn't realize the role it played in the Apollo 11 stuff, and that's what it's all about.
Is correct. Yep.
So that was cool. That was great. I mean, it was actually like a comedy and everything. Yep. You kind of see like 60s Australian.
This movie
was 90s, right? It was like a 90s movie.
90s or something like that,
But it was about 60s culture.
So it was all period. It was all shot in... And they got all the old hardware, too.
Oh, really?
If you actually see, like, all the consoles and everything.
Oh, they had Nixie tubes all over the place. That was cool.
Yep. So they got those out of the archives, and, it was quite realistic from that point of view.
Uh-huh.
There was a lot of discussion on the, you know, Oz Electronics Forum back in the day. When that movie came out. Oh, yeah, everyone's saying, it's pretty realistic, you know.
Cool.
Yep.
I like that part, too. They showed a part where they're like, instead of going up the access port to the center of the dish, they just tilted the whole thing down.
They just tilt the whole thing down.
Step onto it.
Yes.
As the dish is pretty much, because it's like, I mean, I don't know, how big is that one?
It's 70 meters.
70 meters. Yeah. And that's not what we're going to see today, right?
We're not going to parks, no, right. But we are going to see a same size dish, a 70 meter dish.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. So it's the same size.
Okay.
But the thing with parks nowadays is it doesn't transmit. It's only a receiver. They actually pulled all the transmitters out of it.
Okay.
So parks can only receive. So they can't use it as part of the deep space tracking network because they've got to talk to the probes as well
right.
as receive.
Right. But you got to send it. Yeah. Send it to turn this way, turn that way.
Yeah.
I can't imagine. So like, do you know what when they send commands out to these things, is it like sending like assembly code? I mean, like what it...
That'd depend on the operating system. It'd use a robust operating system so you couldn't nuke it, right?
Right,
so you couldn't send a command and the whole thing just goes...
Yeah, right, you know? Right. So, well, I remember when we talked to Tony about MicroPython, that was the idea, is that those kind of like interpreted languages is so that the same kind of thing, but...
Yep, I think there's a similar thing. But, you know, if you're talking about like some of the older probes, right?
There's nothing like that.
There's no real smarts on them, you know? They've got like tape recorders.
Yeah.
There's like these probes
robust
have...
Tape recorders,
robust tape recorders, in tape recorders in space! That's how they store their data. They store their data on reel-to-reel tape recorders.
Yeah, what if that's better for, like, cosmic stuff, too?
Probably, I'm sure, there's no way you could, have a bit flip, you know, like, with tape, you know, like the magnetic bits are just too big, you know, to be flipped.
That's an interesting point, yeah.
It's not going to happen.
Yeah,
We're heading to Goulburn.
Yeah, Goulburn.
Goulburn. It's not.
Goulburn.
You don't Goulburn. Say the burn. No, it's Goulburn.
Goulburn.
So it's Goulburn. It's not Bond, but it's like halfway between.
Right.
It's like Melbourne. You know, how do you say it? How do you Yanks say it?
Melbourne.
Yeah. Oh, no, you're almost saying it like a local.
Melbourne. Yeah, no, he's just saying
It's like Melbourne, you know, or something. Yeah. However. Yeah. Right. Nah.
Yep. Yep. So, yeah, we're going to see some space stuff. That's cool.
Yeah, it's cool.
What else did you see at the meetup last night that you liked?
I took me back to my childhood of somebody bought in a lead matrix. Did you see the lead matrix?
Oh, it was all hand soldered. Yeah, oh my God, that was beautiful.
But not just that, it was all Veraboard.
Yeah,
right? So how many leads did he... He had like 10 high by like 100 wide or something, doing a scroll in lead.
And it had a plod function.
It had Mandelbrot sets on there and stuff like that.
Right,
and
it was ESP8266 that then talked to like the driver chip, which you flip it over and it's all hand soldered point to point wires.
Or point to point mod wires, or point to point wire wrap wires. Like it wasn't wire wrap, but they used the wire wrap mod wire.
Yeah,
and
right.
cut them all and routed them all It wasn't just like a rat's nest, they were all routed. Oh, beautiful.
Did you take it? You took video of that too? I took video of that as well.
Yeah, I got some video of that. Really cool. That was great. And that's how you build stuff back in the day, because you know, doing a board was, you know, a fair bit of work.
He's not done a board yet. I was doing the hard sales pitch for KiCad, of course.
Right, of course.
You know,
of course.
That was a good one. Jonathan, did you see his? I don't know if you saw it.
Yes, the soldering iron.
The soldering, okay, you did, yeah.
He did that. He started that project that morning.
Right.
That morning. He did it in like less than like, he did it in like 8 hours.
Right.
So he hacked together a portable Heiko, genuine Heiko soldering iron using a drill battery pack.
It was like a Makita drill pack.
It was a Makita drill pack. And he used, I didn't know you could buy that and do get this, but you can buy on eBay fake Heiko controllers for the digital solder for that.
Right.
Like, so it's got like the, it's the controller front panel.
Yep.
So it's got like the LCD with the digital readout of the temperature. It's got the controller, like the actual power controller for the element and everything. Like, and it's all, and it's got the knob and everything else and all in one. So you just hook that up and he wired that in, but he only had like on his on his Wi-Fi module, and he only had 2 I/O pins.
Right.
So, but he had like 4 inputs, so he had to like use multiple things, and it just so happened that the Heiko standard has like a 3K3 pull up or something, so it generates like a half rail voltage to detect that. So he figured, oh, that's half rail. I can use other voltages to detect other things, like a switch pushing it off and on for when you put it on the stand, it automatically turns off. So that was cool.
Yeah.
That was cool. And he did that hack in like 8 hours or something. That was really great.
Yeah, because and what we were talking about it too, because I mean, that's a real need, right? So like at one of the other meetups that I did in the one in Wellington, someone brought like they had like a butane version,
right?
And they said that they to actually solder using that on the road, you have to heat it up, but the control is so poor and the heat source is so strong that you have to turn it off before you actually
do the joint, because it'll just destroy your pads.
Exactly. And this one though, this was like
this is like a $600 Heiko iron, but hooked up to a...
Oh, was it that much, really?
Oh, it was their expensive model.
I didn't know that. Okay.
It wasn't their like bottom of range FX, thing.
I had never seen that model before too, because it had the LED
on the handle.
Yeah,
on
right. So it actually shows like as it gets to temperature, it'll show the PWMing and stuff like that, which is really nice for visual indicator of like, oh, this is, you know, in heat up mode, that kind of thing.
And I've got a photo. It actually had a belt for the clip, like a belt clip on it. So you can put the battery pack on your belt clip. So all he needs is another holster on the other side for the iron, and boom,
wow, wow, wow.
Draw.
You can picture that. You can do that for your contest board, right?
Oh, well,
you could do that.
I haven't mentioned the contest board on here yet. So.
No, but yes, you've got a, like, as in a physical contest.
Right,
board.
So I'm working on a, I call it a soldering obstacle course, but what it really is a soldering, a time trial for, like a fireman contest or a lumberjack contest where they do different types of...
I'm a nerd and I'm okay.
I lay it all night and I solder all day.
That could be a thing.
There you go.
That could be our new
Oh, God, intro song?
Intro song.
Right.
We should totally record that. Oh, we should work up some lyrics and record that.
Oh, boy.
Yep.
Yeah. So the idea is that it's got a bunch of different types of solder joints, like TPs and Stonehenges and all these.
Yep.
I don't even know if they're real names. It's just what's right. What I call them. And the idea was you have to do these, you have to actually solder like 0 ohm resistors in line, and you could test it by having an LED turn on, that kind of thing. And then people can film themselves doing it with a timer next to them, and then
that's how we
compete, and then we can, you know, there'll be prizes and all that other stuff.
Cool.
Yeah, remote soldering trials.
You didn't do this as an amp hour thing, right? It's a contextual.
It was started as that, but I mean, I figured that I was going to just release the board on. I mean, it's just a board design, so that I was going to put it on Oshpark so anyone could order it, or you know, whatever service they want to do.
Yep.
And yeah.
Got it.
Yep. Yep.
Sweet.
Yep. So that'll be sometime soon.
Got it. There's some pretty advanced hacks there too. They were like, you know, big FPGA stuff and things like that.
Oh, I don't know if I saw the FPGA stuff.
Oh, okay, you missed it. Okay.
What was that?
That was a video encoder, like a real-time video encoder.
Oh, wow.
So it was like, I think it was like a Vertex or something, you know. And it was, some pretty heavy-duty hardware was bought out. And GPS trackers. My mate Keen does a GPS tracker for rats.
Yeah.
So you actually glue it to the back of the rat.
Right, right. Right, and then it stores it. You said it stored it in like Spy Flash or something like that.
Yeah, something like that. And then
you pull it off after.
Right, after you find the dead rat. And then you. Otherwise, you'd have to catch the rat.
Where's this little bugger been? Right. Yeah.
That's great.
Yep. Yeah, yep. So that was overall, though. I mean, definitely one of the better meetups I've been to. So, first time, not a bad showing. So, I'll be doing one in Melbourne. I'll be announcing that probably. I'll probably put that at the beginning of this episode. So, it'll already have been announced.
Got it.
Yeah.
Yep.
People that are in Melbourne, don't forget Melbourne. Is that how they say it?
Melbourne. Yep.
Got it. Ooh, right. Copper.
Oh, yep, cop.
Oh, is Dave going to get a ticket?
Might.
Oh, yeah? That would be great. We could record it. I'm sorry, officer. We were recording a podcast.
We weren't paying attention to the road.
Right.
Anyway, it hasn't come after us, but they don't always do that. Sometimes they just snap your number plate, you know, they snap a photo.
Oh, really?
Through the camera, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm learning a lot about how things are different. Yeah, most things are the same, to be honest.
Right.
You know, in my travels.
Yep.
Obviously, we're on the wrong side of the road here.
Yeah.
But I've gotten used to that, too.
Right, okay.
And, yeah, I mean, there's other small cultural things, but...
Right.
Traveling. Anyways, I say that we are going to pause here, because we're going to actually check to see if this sounds okay.
Yep.
And then we'll...
And if it doesn't, you may not hear it.
Right, exactly. So at that point, who cares? But if you hear us come back, if you've heard the beginning here in the first place, then... We're going to keep recording like this.
It can't suck that bad that we're not going to release it, surely. I mean, we are using lapel mics.
Right, exactly.
So we've got,
Right, so, you know, we got to use your time efficiently here.
Ah, okay.
Yep. We're very, very important people that we can just drive to Canberra on a Wednesday.
Is it Wednesday? I just lost track of days.
Yeah, it is Wednesday.
Okay.
All right, we'll be right back. All right, so.
Hang on. Silent period. That should do it.
It's a moment of silence for all of our resistors and capacitors that we've blown up over the years. Definitely not us trying to do noise reduction on
this sound. No, definitely not trying to. Yes. We're just at a cafe and we stopped for lunch.
Yep.
And
sounded okay-ish. It's not going to be like the best.
No, we didn't. Well, you didn't have real headphones. You got those little wanky, bloody in-ear things.
Earbuds,
you can't hear a thing with those things.
Yeah, but it sounded okay enough.
So
we've had worse.
Right. So if you don't know, if you want to take out noise, like where you're driving at the moment, you hear the tire noise, you know, and all that. Well, maybe you can't.
Well, hopefully not.
Yeah. But there's lots of tire. You know, we're in a Toyota Corolla. It's not exactly a Rolls Royce.
Right. Whisper quiet. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. There's Utes all around us.
Utes. Yep. Utes trucks. Yeah. No worries, mate.
Yeah.
throw in some Kevin Bloody Wilson music.
Yeah. Right, yeah, we can.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So it's got that constant drone in the background.
Yep.
So the way you take that out, depending on your program, is to get like a silent period. So we just had a, we just didn't talk for a bit so that we could get like a 10-second silent period so it can then sample that noise, yep, that background road noise, and then do some magic algorithm-y stuff and yeah, subtract that. Basically, would it
it's
do
probably
like
doing
a,
like a DFT a, or something, right?
Or would it be like a rolling window filter or something like that? Or I don't, yeah, I don't know. What, you think it might be doing a DFT?
I figured like a DFT, like maybe a, it's just getting like the noise profile of
right,
like where the most energy is, and then you just kind of knock that down.
And then just knock that out. So you think it's all, it's doing it that way. Could be.
I guess, I don't know. But we were talking at lunch. We were so we I forget how we got on the topic though. We were talking about the cost of university.
Yep.
Somehow.
And now we've got rain.
Oh yeah. more silence. Do we need more? No, it'll be fine.
Different type of
noise profiles. Yeah. But yeah, we were talking about the cost of university and how things yep, are changing. Oh, I mentioned that I saw one of my friends was talking about college debt, and you know, as you know, like some people carry that into their 30s. I have lots of friends, doctor friends especially, but you know, like,
right.
But you know, engineer friends, other people, at least in the States, the cost of education is significant, right? I was saying that there's a lot of private I think the university I went to, Case Western, is up in the 40 or 50.
Gundagai, told you, sorry. I just had to point out Gundagai.
We're going through Gundagai?
No, we're not. Gundagai's off that way.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Yeah, we are still driving here, I suppose. So.
Yep. So people can follow us on Google Maps. Where currently, this was the turn off. We're going to Canberra, and we just passed the turn off to Gundagai. So there
yes,
you go.
And there's cows all around us.
Right.
So yeah. So some, but like $40,000-$50,000 American for yep, for 1 year of university.
Okay.
You carry yep, that through for 4 or 5 years, and yeah, you got, you know.
See, that's insane. You told me that at lunch, and I almost choked on my thick shake.
Yeah.
You know, like 40,000 US a year, that's like 60,000 Australian.
Yeah, it's right? It's up there.
That's insane. So I asked on Twitter, and when
last time we checked,
we've only got the one reply, so thank you, whoever replied. They said that Swinburne Uni, which is in Melbourne, it was 8K a year. That's 8K Australian. So about 6K US.
Right.
Like, that's like almost order of magnitude.
Yeah, it's getting there.
Almost. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah, it's, I mean, I think that some of that's public funding stuff as well. Like, I think there's probably better public funding here, but, like, and I'm talking about private universities too. Like, some of the public universities are lower, but I mean, they're creeping up, but like, and there's some really good public universities, but.
I don't think we have public universities. Well, not like you in the same way you have public schools.
No. Not like completely covered by taxes. Usually it's like there's like some funding structure in the back end.
Oh, yeah. No, they all get... I think every university gets government funding in some way, shape, or form. I'm not across.
Right. So like a lot of the private ones in the States don't have that. And so,
right. Okay.
But just the real reason it's so surprising, though, is just because, you know, you think about it, engineers usually make pretty good money. And, you know, that cost lingers over your head, you know, if you're trying to... you know, build out your lab or buy a house to put your lab in, you know, like that's...
So in theory, for a four-year degree, you could come out with almost 200K in debt.
Yeah.
Would that... Wow.
Yeah, I mean, like, it depends on, like, your situation. There is financial aid and stuff like that, but I had a coworker that was... He was 95K in debt, and he went to a not very good school.
Yeah.
Like, he went to, like, a... I think it was a public school, but he was just, like... He was also, you know, he was on his own. He had to take out living expenses too, and
right,
he was doing school full time. So yeah, it really hit, you know. And that,
wow.
Yeah, it's crazy. And
that's nuts.
So we were talking about maybe doing a survey at some, just because it'd be interesting to see, especially as people over the years how their stuff has changed, right? So like obviously we have listeners from all age groups. Mm-hmm. Some people are in university now. Some people are long out of university. It'd be interesting to just kind of see where the different costs were and stuff like that. So, but
I was saying I paid, I don't remember, it was like 20 plus year, 24 years ago or something.
Right.
That dates me. And it was, I can remember paying like $800 a semester, I think.
Yeah.
So, you know, like under 2K a year, but as I was saying, we did get a substantial discount if you paid cash.
Yeah.
So right. I had been working, you know, I had my own side business, so I just paid cash, you know, like it wasn't, you know.
It's a way to do it, man, if you can. Yeah.
And hell yes, I'm going to take that 40% discount. Right. Was it 60 or something? I don't know. It was a massive discount for paying up front.
That's great.
So, yeah. So does that happen in the States? If you can pay up front, do you get a discount?
I think so. You know, there's some really weird programs too. Like, I don't know if my school did it, but I've heard about it at other schools where sometimes they'll allow like parents or grandparents to pay like 15, 20 years in advance, like over time.
What?
And then like basically it's like a trust.
It's a trust, right.
Whatever the tuition will be at that point, and under the condition that the kid gets in.
Got it.
Which, you know, they assume they're doing that.
Or is it only for that uni, or can they go to any uni in the country?
Just for that uni.
Oh, yeah. Screw that. Because the kid might decide to go somewhere else. Yeah. Right?
Well, there's like funding structures in the States. Like there's like for my nephews, I opened up like a college fund for them.
Right.
There's one, I forget what it's called, it's a name. It's not a Roth, but there's a different type of like tax advantage account.
I was going to say, is there a tax incentive? There must be some tax incentive for putting that money into.
Yeah.
So does it come out of your pre-tax money or something?
No, it's post-tax, but it's like it's not. But any gains on the stocks you buy.
Right.
It's like a Delmore or something like Dell, something Dell.
Right.
Dell
something.
Ooh, road got quiet. Yes.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's only because we're going across a floodplain bridge. Kind of thing.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Anyway. So, yeah. And so we were also talking about education, though, about the, about how we were both frustrated with, even though it is, so we're paying all, so I'm paying all this money, you paid some money.
I paid by all, yeah.
But like, you know, like at the beginning, they forced you to do the 100 level course of where, so I was also mentioning how when we went to go see the Sydney Bridge, the Harbour Bridge in Sydney, how anytime I see a bridge or anything, I get these panic attacks thinking back to statics class. And that's because I had to take these classes that I just couldn't stand and I never use, will never use.
Yep.
But you had a really good idea with that, with the opt-out.
Oh, did I? Was it? I just said opt-out, didn't I?
Well, you said opt out, but the idea was, so you said you could, so some people come in knowing what they want to do.
Oh, yes.
Right? Yeah, so it's like, okay, I definitely want to do electrical. I want to sign a piece of paper that says, I am skipping mechanical, blah, 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 all that stuff. And then you kind of fast forward. And then if you want to switch to mechanical later, the penalty effectively is, well, you got to go back and start over, right?
Right.
Yeah,
okay.
I think that's legit. They should do that. You know,
I know,
that's
totally. But then they would have to recognize it at the end, because you don't want to come out with the same bit of paper as somebody else who's done 2 years of airy fairy civil engineering, right? You know, like, right?
What do you mean, want to come.
Sorry to all the civil engineers out there. But like, if you said, okay, I want to opt out of all civil engineering classes and the mechanical engineering classes, right? Because that's not what I want to focus on, then you shouldn't come out with the same named degree as somebody who did those. You should come out with some like specialist option that, I did more, you know. It's not that you sit those classes out, you'd have to substitute them with something else.
Sure, but right? I would think
because
that
you have to get a certain number of points.
Right, you know? But at the end, you just have more, like I had to skip a ton of like the high-end, like the 300, 400 level classes that were interesting.
Yeah.
I ended up skipping those or compressing them all into one semester, which is detrimental.
Okay.
That really stinks. I mean, like that's because I had to spend it on the other stuff, you know?
But if you're an employer who cares about the core, you know, say you're hiring some sort of graduate, right? You're hiring a graduate and the only thing you got to go by is their, you know,
their degree.
Is their degree, right? Their course that they did.
Well, I think we know my feelings, and I know you have similar feelings, is that it,
yes,
who
no,
cares, right?
Right, like, yeah, no, but if that's all you got to go by, right,
so.
Then, you know, like all things, if you like two people equally, you're probably going to pick the one who's done the more thorough course material, right? Surely. Like, if
I guess
all,
so, but
all
like
things
then,
being equal.
I guess so, but like that means that I would want someone who had civil stuff anyways. Yeah, I guess you're right that you need some kind of delineation, but I would think that you could list the coursework and
Oh, okay, right.
Then you're good to go, right?
And then you're good to go.
Because, I mean, that's what I see a lot. I used to interview interns and co-ops and stuff like that. They would all list their... But they didn't have anything else to list.
No, yeah, exactly. So they'd list all their subjects.
Yeah, right.
They did, right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I always... I think I probably mentioned on the show before, but we had... So we had Larry Sears on the show a long time ago, but Larry ended up teaching a course at my alma mater, which was, like, the best course. And I always said... Whenever I was having co-ops or interns at the career fair, I said if they have that on their resume that they've taken that course and they've passed it,
in like Flint.
Immediate interview, if not potential job offer. Because but I think people that are listening that are in school right now, because we had some people at the meetup that were in school and stuff like that too. I think if you're at that point, you just gotta like somehow you gotta figure out what is that class, right?
And then
All of your effort goes towards that class, right? That's the one you need to pass. I remember I had a friend in Michigan who said there was a computer architecture course where you basically built a 16-bit processor or something like that from scratch in Verilog.
Sweet, right.
And it was
30-40 hour
homework type things.
Yeah.
And that's like the kind of thing where like people get hired out of there to go design processors, stuff like that.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
So,
totally agree. So we want to know how much people paid for their engineering education, please.
Yeah, I would love to. Yeah, I'll try and set up like a Google Docs or something for
right.
that.
Okay.
I'm not taking notes this time. I have to listen to all this crap.
Right, yeah. Oh, damn it.
Oh, damn.
You have to listen to yourself. Yeah.
Yeah, the amp hour. We're recording the amp hour in a car while people might be listening in a car,
Dave.
Yeah,
know.
Yeah, weird. Yep. Inception. We need to go deeper. We need another car.
Right. You came up with an idea before we started this.
Oh yeah.
Right, is that we would actually listen to our own shows and actually actually comment on them.
There's still time. We still could do this.
Right.
Turn on the amp hour, plug in the thing, ready to go.
Yep. Oh man.
Listen to the good old days. I should mention too, someone I've gotten a couple of emails recently.
Yep.
Our site had some kind of like update. And anything before like episode 80 is not showing up on the site. I've been meaning to fix that.
Oh, okay.
You can always get to our episodes if you go to theamphour.libsyn.com. .com. You can access all of the episodes, including like the full catalog.
Yep.
Without needing to go through the feed or anything like that. So that's always a good one to know.
Because that's where we actually host our files. If you don't know,
right?
And it
basically even when our WordPress site goes down,
those
files are still there.
Are still there. You can still access the show.
Right, and a lot of it's on YouTube now too, so you can always find our YouTube channel.
Yes.
So.
Although not all the back catalog, right? Only.
No, at all.
Everything. We've got every episode. There you go.
Yeah. So that's all up there, but it's just you can't easily download that stuff. So I think that's what people are usually looking for.
Got it.
So yeah. Listening in the car.
Yeah, all right. I'm eagerly watching out for kangaroos here. Making sure we don't hit a kangaroo.
Kangaroo country.
Yeah. Well, no, we haven't seen any kangaroo signs yet, but we may do.
Really?
So, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I should probably see one kangaroo. I mean, I was telling my mom, she was asking me if I've seen a wallaby or a kangaroo, and I'm like, I'm in the middle of a city.
I know, exactly.
This is not like the outback,
Right.
Still,
Yep. They're highly overrated animals.
Yeah. Right.
But I've seen the look on tourists' faces when I show them a kangaroo. It's like,
I'm gonna eat one. I'm gonna eat some kangaroo.
Oh, you're gonna eat some roo.
Yeah.
Okay,
down in Melbourne, apparently there's a place I have to go to.
Yep.
So.
Okay.
Yeah. What is out here? So like this is like farm country?
This is all there'd be a lot of farmland out here.
Yeah.
But no, it's basically a lot of nothing.
I'm surprised there's not more wind power out here. I would think there's good winds.
There are wind farms down south here on the way to Canberra, but you may not necessarily see them on the highway. It's like
So they're a little bit inland.
Yeah.
I've always thought that if I had land, that would be like, I mean, like at least leasing it to.
Oh, totally.
You know,
I would totally lease my land there. Yeah.
Yeah. I got to go. I don't think I mentioned on the last show, but I got to go in New Zealand. I went to a wind farm.
Yep.
There's like a walk-up one in Wellington. And I had never been that close to a turbine before.
Oh, okay. Yeah, they're daunting, aren't they?
Oh, my God.
They are intimidating beasts.
I have some other videos, and I put some stuff on my Instagram, but like, Yeah, this is like a 62 turbine wind farm.
Right.
And they were like, I think they're about 3 megawatt.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're not noisy. I mean, like,
you can hear them,
but like, I always get so upset when I hear these complaints. They're like, oh, they're noisy and they're killing birds and whatever. Excuse me. And like, I mean, birds fly into things all the time.
Yep.
And and there's a lot more birds where they came from. I don't know. I just always think they're like these scapegoat excuses. Right. You know, yep. Like, I don't know. I think they're beautiful on the horizon. So.
Totally.
Yeah. Yep. But I guess solar's probably pretty big out here too, right?
Solar take up in Australia is huge.
Yeah. Yep.
Especially on houses. Yeah. It's just mad. Like, last I looked, it was like 14% to 15% of.
Oh, really?
Of Australia had solar panels on their
roofs. Awesome.
Yeah, it was massive. We're one of the highest in the world.
And that was partially because of the feed-in tariff, right?
That was almost exclusively because of the feed-in tariff. Yeah, once the government said, we're going to pay you 60 cents for every kilo, you know, like you buy power at 20 cents and we'll pay you 60 cents to feed it back in. Holy crap, it just exploded.
Right.
Yeah.
Is it still going or no?
No, they just ended that actually.
Okay.
Yeah, just in the recent months. So everyone had a good 5-6 years or something, and nope.
Well, I saw that the solar spending is down, like overall throughout the world, but that is almost exclusively because the cost of solar
dropped so much. Oh, has dropped because
it's not paying as much for installs and stuff like that.
Right. So you got to look at the per gigawatt hour installation figure,
right.
I'm sure is going up.
Oh, it's going up a lot.
Yeah,
but it's it's, you know, it's still climbing, but it's.
Okay.
Have you thought about, is your roof full?
No.
You could put more in if you want to.
Oh, well, not optimal angle. Like, because we got an extension on the house, so now we can put maybe an extra four on or something like that.
Yeah.
I could put more on, but they wouldn't be optimal, so it'd kind of defeat the purpose a bit.
Got it. Yep.
And also, they'd be on the front of the house, and the wife doesn't want to ruin the look of the front of the house with the solar panels on the front, so.
Well, that's. You know.
That's the end of that.
That's the end of that. Yeah. Discussion over. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I'd love that. I mean, like, that kind of stuff. I think, Martin was doing a bunch of stuff with solar. And he's going to be doing that in his new place in North Carolina. He's going to be doing some solar stuff.
Right.
But I never did that at my house.
So everyone's leaving Cleveland. What the hell happened to Cleveland?
No,
become Detroit?
No.
No?
I left because I wanted something new, and Martin left because I think he's working towards his retirement house. So
right, okay.
Yeah, so, yeah. That's two people, Dave.
All right. Well, you know, it's a trend, right?
It's a trend, yes. right. Two points makes a line.
It's like everyone I know is leaving Cleveland.
That's right.
Right.
That is a true statement, yep, yes.
Exactly.
Oh, man. Yep.
Oh, look at the mountain ranges. Aren't they nice?
I would not call these mountains.
No, they're the hills. I mean.
Yeah. The hills are very nice.
Yep.
So what are we talking about now that we don't have the... You cannot look at the internet.
I cannot look at the internet. I've got to look at the road.
Uh-huh.
That's kind of handy.
I think my internet is running out. Oh, there's a wind farm over on the left.
Oh, yeah.
All right. I don't think I can photo that, but...
No. We might go past it further up.
Okay.
Because if you notice, we're not going to cross... the mountain here, we're gonna like follow the valley straight through.
Okay. So I'll try and take a picture and maybe that'll be part of it.
Right. Can we call this the road to Gundagai?
If you want to. What is Gundagai? I don't even
know. It's a song and it's a place. You know, it's a famous Australian.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Famous.
Yeah.
Quote unquote.
Yep. Anyway.
Yeah. Well, let me look up the Amp Hour subreddit, I guess.
All right.
Yeah. We can use this as more silence time.
We can need some more silence time. 10 seconds of silence for our fallen transistors.
That's right.
Oh, there. There we go.
Oh, yeah, that's legit.
Yeah, that's a legit wind farm. Poke a little phone cameras gonna like there'll be a few dots on the white poles on the horizon and that'll be it.
Whatever, man. I think that's gonna look good. It's amazing the HDR on these things too. Like, it just I was thinking some low light stuff.
But they're still shit cameras. Phone cameras are still shit cameras.
I don't think so. Like, once they process, like, it's pretty amazing.
If you got outdoor light, yes.
Yes.
Once you do anything remotely, I'm not even going to use the word low light, but like anything that's not full brightness,
right?
They just start to really suck it.
Right. Well, that is one of the only articles that I've posted in the Amp Hour since we last talked. There was I think it's a military camera, but like you look at it, and so like we're out in the hills right now, and you look at the footage, and not only is it looks like daylight, even though it's pitch black, it has color.
Oh.
I don't know how, they must be doing some kind of compression and like color shifting or something. Like,
wow.
Because
sure, it's not false color?
It's not false color, but it's not full color. It's not like vivid like we're seeing now, but there is like, plants are green.
Wow.
Dirt is brown. Yeah, it's really weird.
Wow.
And then they pan up to the sky too, and the stars are just like, like any kind of point light source is obviously overloading their sensor. Yep. But I don't know how the hell they're doing it. It looks really impressive, though.
Wow.
So I'll put that in the show notes, too.
It's called Aperture.
Yeah. That's the thing. I never did the photography thing. Did you ever do the...
Oh, I know enough to be dangerous.
Yeah.
You know? Yep.
Oh, I guess, yeah, with all your video stuff.
No. Yeah, kind of. I'm kind of sort of in that business. You know?
Right, sort of.
Yep.
In a sense. Oh, that's a pretty big wind farm.
That's a big count.
50 plus, yeah.
I know, yeah, it's got
to
be. Yeah.
I mean, it depends how deep it is. It's like up on a... Yep. So, to give people an audio picture, it's like up on a ridge, and we're kind of... We're at the foot of another ridge.
Yep.
So it's probably catching all the wind coming up that hill.
So there's a big plain. There's a big flat plain, yep.
Yeah. But there might be another line of wind turbines behind it, so...
And all of this actually floods, too. It actually turns into a lake.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to live down there. No. There's a house. There's that paddock. Oh.
Sheep.
Do sheep float?
I don't know. Do sheep float?
I guess you'd move them up the hill.
I guess you'd move them up onto the road. Yeah.
Wow. Like a full lake?
We could have gone to the rest area and we could have photographed it properly.
I mean, this is pretty close. I don't think it turned into a bad photo, but... Is there like a lake at the end of this thing then too?
Not unless it's been like heavily flooded and raining and all the rest of it.
Yeah, that's good timing. We were talking about turbines and then they show up, so.
Hallelujah!
So we were talking before about the full scale of power stuff too, right? Because we were talking about nuclear storage and stuff like that, nuclear waste storage.
Yep.
And you were saying that you think Mr. Musk is a little overzealous with the storage.
With the grid scale storage,
Well, and so like, and I mentioned
there's got to be, Ben, I do not see. I'm going to make a big call here.
Oh,
there's another. There's another rest area on the left. Would you like to stop?
No, it's fine.
Okay, I'm going to make another big call here. I am going to say that lithium-ion batteries, as we know them, are not going to be a grid scale storage solution.
It'll be a start, but yeah.
Oh, no, yeah.
There'll be some amount.
There'll be some amount, but it will not be the solution that makes grid-scale storage viable.
Got it. Actually, so one of the people who showed up in the at the Wellington meetup, I didn't realize that they're doing this, but he actually volunteers at a recycling center.
Right.
And then strips out the packs from old laptop. They test the cells.
Interesting, yeah,
and they're DIY... like whatever the power bank called, right? Like the thing that Tesla's making, but their home grid storage.
Right.
He said he had, I think he was pushing like 10 kilowatt hours.
Right. Yeah. That's a decent pack.
Right. And so he had like 3 or 4 kilowatts on the roof, and he had like a 10 kilowatt hour storage system, but it was all DIY. It was like 3D printed holders.
Oh, nice. Right. And then, wow.
So all of these batteries, I'm trying to remember, it was showing only, it was like 3.5 volts on the, it had a little built-in meter as well.
Mm.
And it was showing 3.5 volts, so it wasn't fully charged, so they must have been all in parallel, right? because they're all whipping up
cells. If it's a 3.5-volt pack,
And then I think each of those was in parallel, but then you would take this full pack, and then you would, the 3.5-volt pack, or sorry, wait, yes. no, 3.7-volt pack would then be in series with a bunch of other of those packs.
Yep.
And then you...
got it.
There must be controllers, all that other stuff. It was a neat solution. And I mean, 10K is not.
No, that's.
I mean, that'll run your house.
That is a Tesla Powerwall.
Right. You know? Powerwall, that's it. Yeah.
And
that's what they're doing too. They're using the spent. You know, they're not like bad batteries. They're just not to the same standard of being able to fast charge and do all that stuff.
Well, see, the problem with lithium ion batteries is they're the wrong type of battery for grid scale. Energy storage, because they're super low ESR. They're designed for the, you know, like
fast delivery,
cars.
Right.
Yeah, they're designed for fast delivery, you know, super high currents. Right. You don't want that for a grid scale storage solution. You want something that has
low and slow. Yeah.
You know, that's what you want. So I'm thinking about maybe getting a flow battery pack.
What's that?
A flow battery pack is, it uses pumps, and it pumps the electrolyte fluid, so hence it flows through the cells.
Uh-huh.
And they're designed for just that. They won't produce like high peak currents, but they're designed for, you know, slow-ish discharging,
uh-huh.
right? But they basically never wear out. Like, you know,
I just saw a roadkill kangaroo.
Oh, you saw a roadkill kangaroo? There you go. Oh, there was a lookout. There was a lookout.
Oh, fine.
Oh, that was the lookout for the wind farm.
Watch out here.
Oh, there we go.
Oh, no, that's too nice.
Yeah, no, it's all right.
Yeah.
Ah, damn it.
Ah, I got pictures.
Anyway, yes,
man, so much stuff batteries. in one area. So flow battery. So how big would that system be then? Because that's the thing. Like, it seems like the power wall is pretty small.
Yeah, well, there's an Australian company that make a 10 kilowatt hour flow pack.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So, like, normally these are, like, they do use them in industry, but they're normally, like, big, large-scale solutions.
Okay.
But they've actually developed a home one,
uh-huh.
which is 10 kilowatt hours. But they're in Adelaide, so I don't, you know, it's hard to get to and do a video on.
Oh, I see.
But they do, like to trailer, like, two containers shipping... Shipping container size ones,
okay.
right?
So like they'll show up for like a small city or something.
Yeah. If a power, you know, if a town's out of power or something, they could show up on the back of a truck with their, you know, thing. They can power the town for a day or something.
Right, or you could like power a cell phone tower.
Oh, you can,
long time.
Yes,
right.
yes, exactly. So, I think, you know, they've got a reasonable future, but they are mechanical. They require pumps, right, to pump the fluid through.
Yeah.
But nothing extreme, nothing that you can't get a super reliable pump for.
Uh-huh.
But they don't drop in capacity at all. So a 10 kilowatt hour pack you buy today will still deliver 10 kilowatt hours in 10 years' time.
Well, right. Does it have to add electrolyte? Does it evaporate? Or?
I don't know the maintenance cycle on them. I think it's almost zero, as long as they don't leak. Ugh. As long as they don't leak. Because what they do, don't quote me on this, but they basically, it basically coats and then strips off a zinc bromide coating onto these plates.
Ugh.
So when you put charge into them, it actually plates these zinc plates, right? So it actually plates them with this bromide. It's a zinc bromide solution.
So it probably just pulls the zinc out.
Exactly. So it's a completely replace. So unless the system leaks or whatever, you can plate and replate these plastic sheets or glass sheets or whatever they are. There's multiple sheets, and it just actually plates them. And then when you extract energy from them, it deplates them, and Bob's your uncle. You can do that infinite number of times.
I doubt it's infinite, but yeah.
You know, well.
Yeah, it's probably some.
There's some system limit thing to, you know.
Right.
Yeah, I'm sure. So they won't be working 100 years' time.
Do you know how much is the cost of that kind of thing?
They are more expensive than a lithium ion solution, probably 50% more cost, I think.
Okay.
Round about that. So.
But you might get more years out of it.
But you might get a lot more years. Yeah, if you're thinking long term, and they're not exothermic, like the ion packs are, right? So they're completely safe. They cannot explode and catch on fire. And
challenge accepted.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So anyway, they've got a reasonable future. But they're very niche at the moment.
Did you see that article about the... I didn't quite understand the technology, but there's a guy, he was being talked about a lot because he's a 94-year-old scientist.
Yeah.
He was at UT Austin. He helped with lithium ion.
Oh, he actually developed them. Yeah.
Yeah, but now there's some new solid battery that they were talking about.
It's actually a glass. It uses, some glass in some way, shape, or form. And I don't know, some people are raving about it. And, of course, it made all the media, because, like, the guy who invented lithium-ion batteries says this is the future.
Right.
You know, so it grabs all the headlines, of course, right?
Well, like any battery technology, it's like, we'll believe it when we see it.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
It's like you have to, otherwise you get so excited every time you see, like, all this stuff. But it's, that is such a huge piece of energy stuff. And, I mean,
But are any of those, like, let's say, like, the flow batteries, for example, right? If they are the technology for the grid storage solution, right? Let's just assume they are, right? But there's so little call for that at the moment. Like, the Tesla car uses, and all their cars use the 18650 lithium-ion cell, so they can leverage...
Right.
That market, that massive market,
right.
to pay for the R&D, to pay for everything else, you know, to pay for the early years of, you know, high price stuff to get the manufacturing cost down.
Those have already been paid for by all the laptop makers.
Exactly,
right?
all the laptop manufacturers, and now all the car manufacturers who are putting all the cells in their car, right?
Yeah, but we were talking about the Gigafactory too.
Exactly.
Right?
So, but where does that advantage come from a grid scale solution that might be perfect?
Right.
Grid scale, but it has no play anywhere else, right?
Well,
it,
I think these days it's like you have to... Honestly, I think China's energy policy is really, like, encouraging. Like, they're investing in solar like crazy and grid storage stuff too.
Yeah.
And so, like, something like that where, I mean, they were part of the reason, better or worse, China was part of the reason that the cell costs dropped so much.
Yep.
And... because they were basically flooding the market with a government subsidy. Mm. I imagine that if there was some kind of grid storage solution that they endorsed as well, that could also drop the market. But it's pretty dependent on, you know, something of that scale of, like, countries endorsing a solution is potentially problematic, right?
It is.
I mean, it's not that it's never happened, right? I mean, like, I mean, hell, we're going to do space stuff, right?
Right.
How much stuff has been, enabled by NASA investing in some kind of technology, right?
Exactly, infinite. Almost all technology these days can stem from NASA programs somewhere, probably.
Right.
You know, in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, exactly.
So.
Yep. Good old money. Yeah.
Fusion.
Yeah.
Fusion. It's going to be the solution.
Yeah, in 20 years.
In
20 years.
Everyone guarantees it.
20 years from now.
Just
20
like,
years from then.
20 years
from tomorrow.
Why is, like, 20... Well, 20 years is a generation, right? So I guess that's the round ballpark.
They'll never check on this.
Right. No,
they'll
no,
never
no.
check.
Never check. Yeah.
Right.
And people live to be 100. Oh, shit, we checked.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Ray Kurzweil screwed, right?
Yeah, right. Keeps taking them vitamins.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah, that guy's crazy. He works for Google now, doesn't he?
I don't know. No
I think
idea.
He does. But, yeah.
I'm very disappointed. I said fusion would happen 20 years ago. You know, I thought... I didn't necessarily think it would be 20 years, but I thought we would have had... a lot more progress than we have had now, you know, like, which is basically bugger all.
Right, they're still like, well, we're almost at non-negative energy.
Yeah, we can generate like 100 watts for a microsecond or something.
Right. Well, a net 100 watts.
Net 100
takes
watts.
Takes like a megawatt to get started.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Do you think there's just some technology like that is just uncrackable? It's just not possible. I'm sure there is, and that could be one of them.
I mean, that, like, feels like one of those things where it's like there's so much. What is it called? Where, like, the condition where, like, it's like a ball teetering at the top of a hill.
Oh, right. Yes, right.
And, like, it requires that kind of level of control to get that.
And, yep.
I mean, so much of like, so like it's an entropy thing, right? Like any kind of amount of entropy then basically makes that ball roll off unusual direction, right? And you can't really control it then. Whereas like, I don't know, like existing energy solutions is like burn things.
Yeah, burn things.
There's a lot of energy and entropy rather. Like yeah, when you're burning things, right? It's just
stuff that's taken millions of years to build up. Yeah, there's a lot of stored energy.
Right, exactly. And so it's like, I get it, but it doesn't feel like we operate on the level where it's required. Like, yes, okay, I get that the sun is also, you know, it's fusing things.
Yep.
But we don't have that kind of gravitational control.
Right.
So, yeah.
You know. Someone will crack it.
Yeah, gravitrons smart and cookie. Stuff. Yeah.
There's a Nobel Prize to be had, folks.
Yes, that's right. Just
keep
trying.
Start working on it.
Yeah, be safe. Be safe.
Well, there's so many. Yeah, there'd be a lot of crackpots, I guess, in quote marks out there working on it, you know.
Oh, sure.
Thinking they can crack it, you know.
Right.
But we've talked about this before, right?
Surely.
Like the age of the individual being able to make such a huge monumental discovery is practically zero.
Well, I think that a lot of that too is like we're living off myths, right? Like like we talk about Elon Musk, right?
Right.
Elon Musk is not doing anything. I mean, like
No.
Sure, he's helping guide the what he wants to do, and obviously he's
and
raising
he could
money.
And he could do it because he had money, and he's, he got.
He is very technically minded. Like he's a smart guy. I get all that stuff, but like. There are hordes of people that are doing this work with him.
Oh, yeah.
You know, just like with Edison, just like with Tesla, just like with everyone, right? Maybe Tesla, you know, Tesla had assistants, you know, but...
Right, yeah.
He was a smart guy. But, like, yeah, I mean, I think that a lot of the times there is the myth of, you know... I remember Bunny was talking about it, too. He's like, remember he was talking about Tony Stark and telling Jarvis just to fabricate the thing. Like,
right, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's just the myth. That's what we love to think because we want to think that we can do it all on our own, too.
Yep, exactly. So we project that onto others.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, me and Dave, we don't do shit.
No. We just, I don't know.
Drive to Canberra.
Yap on for a living.
Yeah, right. All right,
bloody hell. We make a living.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't dare criticize us.
How dare you?
We feed our families. This is how we feed our families.
I don't have a family, dude.
Well, yeah, okay. Yeah.
Well, how about, we were talking about your, speaking of feeding Dave's family.
Right.
We were talking about your new probe. We didn't talk about that in the show yet, did we? Is it?
No.
Is that public? It is public, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
it's up on my website.
Oh, okay, good.
You just can't buy it yet.
So.
And there's no price on it yet.
Yeah. Who's that for, though? Like, so who should be getting one of those?
Everyone who's watched my video, How Not to Blow Up Your Oscilloscope, that's all 200,000 people who've watched that video,
right,
should have a high voltage differential probe.
Right.
It just means that you can probe around on anything mains related or any other circuit that it basically floats the ground, basically.
Right.
You know, well, at high impedances the ground via a 4 meg resistor.
Right.
Right. It just allows you to program without blowing up your circuit under test or your oscilloscope or yourself.
Well, I think that's good. Yeah. We're now entering. Sorry.
We are now in the Australian capital territory.
Sorry. We're just getting little driving updates here as we go.
Yep.
And of course, the roads got worse.
Right. Yeah.
We're now in government territory.
You might have heard that. It just instantly changed. Yeah. Different state. Yeah.
And Gungalin's on the. Yeah. Is that how you say it?
What?
Gungalin?
Gundalin.
Gungalin?
Gundalin.
Gundalin?
Gundalin.
Oh, I didn't see a D in there. Okay.
Ah, okay.
Anyways, so I was always disappointed that like handheld scopes didn't get more. You know, we're talking about batteries too, right?
Yeah.
I'm always disappointed that they didn't become a bigger thing. You know, like.
I guess
you could do that. We could do kind of like what Jonathan did with the. You know, you have a battery, but you just need an inverter then, and then you.
Yep.
You know, you could do that kind of thing.
Well, you can, but like everyone has a scope, so you know it's easier, and you know you like it, you know how to use it. It sits on your bench. You're better off buying a differential, a high voltage differential probe, than getting a a properly rated portable scope. Right. The key part there is properly rated.
Right. That's true. Yep.
And
yeah. Yeah, because we used to use those things for when we were doing like floated ground stuff at, right. For like measure test measurement yep. equipment type things.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good to keep that stuff. Now, we got GPSs, we got rain, we've got loud noises, yeah, we got dead kangaroos, man.
This is gonna suck ass.
This is gonna be a weird show, man. Yeah. You know? It's all for the novelty of listening to people in a car while you're in a car.
So how dead was the kangaroo?
Oh, there's been like four of them, and they were way dead.
Right.
They were dead. Yeah.
Right.
Like, yeah.
And we're slowing down.
Yep. Yeah, so I don't know. I think that, I guess, yeah, it's just not as specialized, and I guess probably at the end of the day, it's cheaper to have like a offline switching power supply or something, right?
Well, God.
I mean, like just in right, so take a Rigel scope, right?
Yep.
You know, that's $400. There's
yep.
That's definitely using an offline switcher, mm-hmm. right? It's
well, one of the problems is it doesn't come with nice, safe probes, right? It's
yeah.
like, you know, that's another thing. And the BNC connectors are exposed and all that sort of stuff.
True.
So if you get a properly rated portable scope,
uh-huh.
right, it's got plastic BNC, like plastic coated BNC connectors, uh-huh. right? So you can't physically touch them, and proper shrouded BNCs which go over so you can't get
right, your, they like lock in or something.
Yeah, yeah. So you can't get your stupid little fingers in there and zap yourself. Right? So, you know, they have to be designed properly. So you can't just buy a portable scope and expect it to be safe on measurement. Yes, you'll avoid the mains ground issue.
Right.
But you yeah. won't avoid the personal safety issue.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's where your high voltage differential probes come in. They've just got, you know, two wires coming out,
yep.
separate wires. They've all got, you know, 4mm shrouded BNCs and 4mm shrouded banana plugs, and they got.
Oh, that's the, you know, the finger yep. test thing. Like
yep,
that.
Yep. Yeah. And, you know, and they go into high voltage hooks, and they, you know,
yeah.
which then you hook onto your circuit. And, you know, it's just.
That's exciting. Yeah. So, new EEV blog product on the way.
Yep. I didn't design it. It's like.
But
it's a new one on the market, so nobody else is selling it yet.
Yeah.
So, quite like the BM235.
Cool. Oh yeah, I got to see the new DMM yesterday.
The new multimeter.
That thing's got some heft. I like
scratch
it.
Scratch and sniff. Yeah, yeah. It's some people didn't. Some people said they didn't like the thickness of it. You know, but it's a psychological thing.
I mean, like nobody's putting that in their pocket. Nobody's putting a DMM in their pocket.
No. Like, exactly. You buy a pocket DMM right. if you want a pocket.
Right.
You know. So.
Personally, I don't really use I mean, like handhelds are okay. I got bench stuff too.
People said they would have wanted it thinner and they were happy with the AAAs and a shorter battery life. I'm not. I want a long freaking battery life. You know?
I agree with that.
Okay.
I want that in my phones. I want that in my test equipment. I want. Oh,
power line's down. Oh, no, this truck. A truck has tipped. A truck has rolled over on the side of the road.
Is that what that was? Yeah. That's why we're going around?
Yep. That was. Yep. We're doing a detour. They closed off the road.
Oh, wow.
Truck line on the side. He didn't take enough uppers, I guess.
Oh, I guess, yeah. Sleepy truck drivers.
We shouldn't laugh, it's bloody dangerous.
I know, yeah. Okay. You should drink what I was just drinking. This is the disgusting energy drink of Australia.
Right.
And New Zealand, I saw it there too.
Okay.
So,
yep.
Yeah, been shaking with caffeinated delight all day, so.
Right. I'm just going to follow everyone else. Oh. And, hey, Canberra. We can buy fireworks in Canberra.
Ooh.
Yeah. Because it's not legal. They banned them in all the other states. But it's legal to buy them in
blow our fingers Canberra. Off.
Yeah.
Great. Yeah. Awesome. I have never played with fireworks.
You haven't? Oh, okay. We used to do this. It almost blew my hand off when I was a kid.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I knew a kid who did.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that scared me sufficiently.
Right. Yeah, that incident almost blowing my hand off sort of, yep, went, oh, shit.
Yeah,
these
right.
things can actually be dangerous.
Oh, yeah, what do you know?
Yeah.
It's basically black powder.
Right. Yeah, it didn't help that I actually took them apart and added them all together.
Oh, you did, yeah.
Yeah, right. And stuck them down a hole and lit it all up.
Sagan, if you're listening many years later, don't right. do what your dad did. Yeah.
Man. Yep, those were the days. And then they banned it, you know, the safety police came along and went, nope, too dangerous for our kiddies.
Yeah. I can't really blame them.
They're not banned in the States, are they?
State by state, it's different.
It's a state law.
Yeah. So like, yeah, it's like the same kind of thing where you'd go over state lines if you really wanted to get them. You could get like the.
Are you allowed to go across, buy them, and then bring them back, or is it illegal to possess them?
I mean, if you get caught, I think you're not supposed to have.
Okay.
So like, when I was in Colorado last, my uncle's friend went across to like Utah or somewhere, maybe north to like Wyoming or something. But he bought a ton of them and brought them back. And,
right.
Yeah. So, it's silly.
Right. So, Colorado, weed is legal, fireworks, illegal.
Right, yeah.
Guns?
But legal everywhere.
Legal, okay, got it. Of course, that duh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right, yeah. Yes.
Geez, we're really scratching for topics now.
We are, yeah.
Yeah, we're officially, yep.
So, well, let's see. Any other electronics-related things in Canberra? I guess I don't really... I mean, we're going towards spacey stuff, but...
There is the telecom tower, which is the big transmitter.
Oh, we're driving towards it,
up on the hill, yeah, somewhere up there.
Yep.
Somewhere.
I don't really know anything about Canberra, so...
You don't really want to
We know might be going to the Science Museum if there's time.
If there's time. We don't know what time it's open till. We're driving in the afternoon now, because, well, it just takes time to drive from Sydney to Canberra.
Yep. Let's see. So I'm going to post this on Sunday. Well, probably Sunday, Aussie time. I will be in Melbourne by then. So if people are listening, like I said, there will be a meetup on Tuesday, Tuesday 18th, and I will obviously have announced it at the beginning of this episode. So, anything else going on for you, Dave? You're going to be doing it. You said you might do another meetup at some point in the future?
Yeah, I'll probably make it 3 monthly, I think. Everyone said monthly would suck. That'd be too many.
Yeah.
And 2 months, I'll make it
quarterly
three.
Is good. Yeah,
quarterly, I think, is probably
good. Right, because we were talking about that. It's like, that's a good amount of time to finish up your next project, bring it in.
Yes, you know? Exactly.
Yeah, so that's good.
Yeah, you can do a reasonable-sized project in 3 months.
Yeah, I mean, you get maybe at least one board rev, maybe two, right? Yep.
Oh, with the quick-turn boards these days, all you kiddies take for granted.
Yeah. Kids
young
these days, right?
Snappers.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's how we make up for having to pay so much for college, Dave.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Well, we should wrap that up then. I think we hit our hour, probably.
There we have, and we're in Canberra now. So.
Yeah. Oh. All right.
Yep.
Cool.
See ya. We have been for a while, dude.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. See ya.
Bye.